Hello there, honey. Y'all all right? Okay, let's get into this. I saw these on Instagram called Wonder Eggs. And I was like, ain't no way they making vegan boiled eggs. Y'all know I make my own out of mushrooms. And so I slid in their DM like, for real, for real? And so they sent me some. I was like, okay now, Wonder Eggs. I don't know, but we finna see. Tell me that don't look just like a real boiled egg. The texture... it's just like an egg. Let's sprinkle it. Right, too much. Let us pray. Ooh, God, we thank you. Amen. Let's see. I don't know why I'm nervous, but get into it. Well, you see all the... okay, let's see. Oh, my God. How y'all do that? Oh my God. Girl, what is in here? Water, almonds, cashews, coconut milk, yeast, konjac, potato protein, rosemary extract, turmeric. Girl, that's it, and black salt. Why that tastes like a real boiled egg for real? That's amazing.
They feel good because it's just nuts. You're eating a handful of nuts and it's hitting all the notes of the taste and the texture and the experience and the nostalgia of eating eggs again.
Who created this? What's your name? Is it Henra? Henna? You right here? Girl, very good.
Hi there, and welcome to Plant CEO. In today's episode, I'd like to welcome Hema Reddy, the founder and CEO of Crafty Counters. Hey, Hema, how are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous, Anand. How are you doing?
I'm very good, and you're joining us today from sunny Texas, right?
Sunny Austin, Texas, that's correct.
That's awesome. So I want to start by congratulating you on your recent news. So Albertsons, which is the huge US supermarket chain, ran a innovation launch pad competition. And there were 60 brands, as I know, in the final. And you won first prize of £163,000. You must be over the moon with that. What was involved in winning it and what happens next with Albertsons?
Yeah, but, well, first of all, thank you for recognizing that. Yes, we're, the team and I are still giddy from that. It's $163,000, not pounds. You just want to make sure that I highlight that. And yeah, it is incredible. It was a stiff competition. Albertsons does this annually. This is the second time they hosted this Innovation Launchpad program. And they had very reputable sponsors that also participated in the event. 687 brands applied across all kinds of categories. So, you know, healthy desserts to frozen to snacks and beverages. And yeah, we were shortlisted in the final list of 60 brands. And then there was another pitch competition on the 12th of March and 13th. The winner was declared and we won. And it was very sublime.
And what process did you have to do in terms of the pitching for that event? As you said, it was many different sectors, not just obviously the plant-based sector. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the process really was, first of all, you had to be exhibiting at Expo West. So you had to have a booth. So that was the one open requirement. And then secondly, they had a template which you had to fill out. And so the same judging process was applied to every single brand. You know how sometimes you walk into a competition and everybody has got their own information or a pitch format? This was very much, very simplified and very standard. So every brand was asked the same questions. You know, who are you? What do you make? What is your competitive differentiation? And what is your go-to-market plan? What is your distribution? What's your innovation pipeline? And so on. And how do you intend to drive trial and discovery? So the same questions were asked of every single brand. So the judging process was equal to everybody. It leveled the playing field for every brand. Yeah, that was a process. The team was very welcoming. The whole atmosphere was high energy and happy, big smiles. We were all led to a ballroom And it was a fast 10-minute pitch session. It was on the clock. You entered the ballroom at the same time. There was 10 different pitches going on. You had 10 minutes. You were in and out, very particular on the clock. And then the next 10 brands went. So the whole day, there were 60 brands pitching to different judges.
Yeah. And what happens now next with Albertson? Because I know there's, like, for example, supermarkets here in the UK who want to have innovation happening in the food space, and they will help them with, say, like accelerator programs to battle against the bigger brands. Is that something that will happen next now with Albertsons?
And that was part of the award ceremony presentation. So what it does is it helps the brands have direct face-to-face meetings with category leaders, division heads. So first of all, it's high visibility, right? Everyone in the country, the brands, other decision makers, other retailers, industry, the media, everybody gets to know that there were these 60 finalists. So it's great for all the finalists that were selected. And then, of course, the top three winners. What happens next is all of the winners do get an opportunity to present their products to the division heads. Albertsons has anywhere from 0 to 2,300 stores. So you have an opportunity to go anywhere from 0 to 2,300 stores, depending upon where you are, how fast you want to grow, how applicable your product is, because they have multiple banners. So we have now an opportunity to go into all divisions. In fact, those conversations are already happening. They already reached out the week after Expo. It's going very fast, very fast. So it's all exciting. So we have meetings scheduled. A couple of them have already happened with the Northwest divisions, for instance, and the Southwest divisions, different banners of Albertsons. So we're presenting our items, and we're in the next 30 to 90 days, our products will be rolling out into a few divisions, which is crazy, which is insane. It's a very quick turnaround time.
Hi there, I've got some great guests coming up in the pipeline, so do please subscribe so you don't miss out. Now back to the show. Let's take a step back now and talk specifically about how you got inspired to create Wonder Eggs.
The inspiration came from the intent to bring more plants to consumers' lives on a daily basis. Nutrition and eating plants is something that we don't do on a whim because we want to wake up and feel better about that day. It should be part of our daily meal choices. So the purpose and mission behind Crafty Counter is let's get crafty about what we consume on the kitchen counter, what we make on the kitchen counter. So all our products are initially conceptualized on the counter, and then we work with the large-scale manufacturing plant and industrializing the offerings. But it all is born from the intent to the fa intent to bring more plants into consumers' tables and meals and plates. So the breaking point for me, or the turning point for me, was COVID. Because by this time we had two of the products, which were blended protein offerings. But during COVID, it was really evident to me that our food systems are so fragile. Our food choices are not ideal. They're leaving us vulnerable to all of these animal-borne illnesses. Something had to change. So we pivoted. My family went plant-based. I went vegan. My son and I are vegan. And we've really missed eating eggs. And there is complete lack of choices in the category of eggs, which is not the same across the other categories, because there are choices in other meats and seafood and milks and so on, cheeses too. But when you look at eggs as a category, there's one market leader, Eat Just, and then that's it. At least when I was beginning work in 2020, there was not many options. There was actually no options that I could include. 99% of the market share is controlled by Just Egg. So with Crafty Counter and Wonder Eggs, the vision is to build an entire category of offerings. Anything that you have, any need or desire you have that needs to be fulfilled by a chicken egg, we will have a plant-based egg substitute readily available for the consumers. So that's the vision.
Yeah, and I guess when you know, back in 2019 when COVID started, I guess was that the moment for you, or was there something else, you know, obviously with zoonotic diseases, but was there something else that triggered you to, I guess, move away from your blended product and go vegan? Was there some media that you saw, or did you read something? What was the trigger point for you?
That's a great question. You're so right. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen just because COVID, left us in this pandemic state, frozen and really shocked. It was many years of that realization building up to that moment. So when I founded Crafty Counter in 2018, I clearly did not agree with the food choices we're making. We're eating too much meat. So cutting down of meat on the amount of meat and increasing the amount of plants and plant protein, the whole food plant-based protein choices such as beans and lentils was already a part of my thought process. And so when we launched these blended protein offerings, it was a combination of chicken. So it was 50% chicken thighs and then 50% cabbage, cauliflower, carrots, and chickpeas. And as a process of rolling those products out into stores such as Walmart and Target, I was having conversations with the poultry farmers. And that's when I realized how the birds are raised in these factory farmed environments, and even like cage free is not really cage free. And so that was one element. The second element was when you get into the trade, right? By trade, I mean food and beverage, you come across many of these reports, the industry reports. What is regenerative agriculture, which is basically bringing back our age-old farming methods back into the way farming should be, and reading more about what intensive animal agriculture is doing to the climate. And it's not just climate change, the fact that we're getting sicker as a civilization, but the impact on the damage it has been causing the past few decades via deforestation, the issue of food systems inequity, the people that are working in these poultry manufacturing or meat processing plants are some of the worst or working conditions for the people on the floor. And so that there's an issue of that why have an industry that encourages food or labor inequity? And so just combined with all of those factors, I was already losing my desire to eat meat. I stopped eating red meat. I was not enjoying my seafood anymore because if you think that, okay, I'm a pescatarian, that is also not a solution. Our ocean systems are just as important to the ecosystem balance as the land is, right? 80% of our world, actually, maybe the number is higher, is water systems. And so with industrial fishing, there's a huge problem. Our coral reefs are in danger. Our kids may not have an opportunity to go snorkeling. So as I was reading, finding out more and more information, watching documentaries on Netflix, however controversial they are, reading Michael Pollan's book, reading books by Michael and Dr. Michael Greger. So reading all these books, documentaries, it was everything combined that I was just like, brewing over, this is not right, this is not right. And then so I had cut down my, animal protein intake over the years between 2018, ironically, launching a food product made me question everything that you are eating and putting in your bodies now with a more informed perspective. So yeah, it was happening over the years between 2018 through 2020. And then it was 3 years was enough of it. And so yeah, we had to take a stand. And taking a stand meant going all the way in and saying no to food sources that are not essential to our existence. We have options to eat plants. There's plenty. You can make many delicious meals. Why kill an animal for your food? It doesn't make sense.
And what's the policy in the US about male chicks being culled? What do most of the factories do? Are they gassing the male chicks? Are they grinding them? Have you got insights on that?
Both. And that's done in the US or around the whole world. Millions of birds, millions of male chicks are getting culled. So the word culled was something I wasn't even aware of. It basically means for those that are listening, male baby chicks that are born because, they are useless to the industry of egg production. They're just killed alive through whatever means are accessible, be it gassing, be it throwing in the grinder. There's videos about it. If you Google, just go to Google and look for search for male chicks getting culled or inhumane side of egg production. So there's many articles out there. But yeah, that was also a factor. Once I knew that, okay, I wanted to create more choices. It started with the desire to fill the gap, and then the more I unraveled, I found out, wow, it is not just a gap. There is an inhuman element to the process of egg production itself. Until then, I only know that the chickens were being, not kept in ideal situations. If the chickens are eating, unhealthy feed, then that feed is making its way into its bodies. And the next level of information, which was even more mind-boggling, was, goodness, there's a whole, genocide of male chicks happening around the world because they're not useful to the egg production, which is, we can't do that. It's
Yeah.
just not. I mean, you see male chicks as cute pictures. They're used as emojis, and imagine these cute creatures, living beings, just thrown into a grinder alive.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of misconceptions. I think here we would call it free range eggs. Maybe you call it, is it cage free? Is that what a common term is? But also, they don't necessarily specify the amount of time that they're not meant to be in the cage. And still it's just as bad. And there's also been some investigations here where they've been labeled as organic or free range, whereas they're in reality that they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you think about the fact that there is not a regulation, or the whole cage free or free range is not really free range. Cage free could be just you're still sitting in the cage, and the bird is like just letting, giving the ability to peek out from that cage. Like the face is out, but the bird is still on a A4 size of paper. But even organic doesn't mean much for that matter, because they're fed organic feed, but they still don't have, space to roam around. Cost to raise birds are different. They are, again, we have to almost look up what that farm is doing when they're saying pasture raised birds or chickens. How big is a pasture, right? So the consumer, if they choose to educate themselves, there is information all available, because every egg carton that you buy has a name of the farm, and you can just go online and look at the name of the farm. So I have absolutely, nothing against folks that want to eat pasture-raised farms or small farms where the hens are treated kindly. They're not pushed for egg production or treated with hormones to just, maximize the amount of eggs they can produce, thereby cutting down their lifespan of natural cycle of life, right? It's the facts are just crazy. So yeah, if it is a humanely kept bird, chickens growing in the backyard, eating eggs that are coming out of them naturally, fine. If that's that's something that you choose to include. But 95% of the eggs are not raised that way, and so that's what has got to change. The demand for eggs is skyrocketing. It's a $270 billion market. And most of it is not, is basically factory farmed. A portion, I'm not sure what the percentage of it is cage free versus just, factory farmed eggs, but there's a very small percentage that is genuinely pasture farm, pasture raised, but their birds are roaming freely, eating the worms, eating the whatever it is that's growing on the earth. I mean, there's no way to catch up with the demand to grow that many birds on a pasture to feed the human population, much like the demand for other categories of meat or poultry.
Yep. So can you take me through your product range?
Yeah, right now we have got two product lines available in over 1,000 stores nationwide, in every single state and Hawaii. They are hard boiled. So we use almonds, cashews, and coconuts. That is 98% of the ingredients, and the rest of the 2% is still, simple, not overly processed. It's a nutritional yeast. It's a agar, which is made from seaweed, black salt, rosemary extract, and we use turmeric and annatto to color the yolks. It's two different textures coming together to replicate a true to life taste and sensory experience of eating hard-boiled eggs. So the deliberate intention was, let's create something that people didn't even have a hope of ever seeing the light of the day. Hard-boiled eggs for people that can't eat eggs anymore, which increasingly I hear a lot of adults saying that I can't eat eggs anymore in the past 5 to 7 years. So it's already happening and making its way into our bodies, and the bodies are rebelling against.
What's causing that specifically, that intolerance, I guess?
I would think it has to do with the way the chickens are raised, and the factory farms are breeding ground for disease, right? The chickens are just walking over feces, and they're eating subpar feed. You are what you ate, right? Somebody famous said that. There's a
Right.
Netflix documentary right now. So you're eating the eggs, and the eggs came from a chicken. The chicken was basically tortured for most of its life and ate, a subpar feed that was highly processed corn or GMO corn. How can that be good for your body? How
Yeah,
can
for
those
sure.
eggs be great protein source? No, they're not. All of that is coming in, even though you think that you're just eating one egg, all of that, those artificial, junk is getting in your bodies. The body is like, well, I've had enough. And if you don't, not cut from the same cloth, everybody's built differently. Everybody's got different tolerance levels. And some people's systems are saying, no, I can't, it's not agreeing with my system. So we've had a lot of people when we do demos and, we're sharing these, hard-boiled eggs with our consumers, and people are coming and sampling. They're like, oh, wow, I haven't had an egg in a long time. And I'm like, how long is long? And they say, just 5 years, 7 years, 3 years. And it's shocking how many people have said that to me and to my team or emailed us. And they said, I did never thought I would eat eggs again. And so they try them and they see how simple they are. They feel good because it's just nuts. You're eating a handful of nuts and it's hitting all the notes of the taste and the texture and the experience and the nostalgia of eating eggs again. And in some cases, people can still eat eggs, but they want to mix it up. They understand that something's not right. Why is there so many bird flu occurrences? And why are millions of birds dying? Right, millions and millions of birds dying suddenly in a week. Why is that happening? You got a question. This is not normal, right? So when people hear about these things, it makes them curious and maybe a little bit like skeptical. And then they read an article or watch a documentary, and then they realize that, okay, I need to change something because this could be an issue for the downstream for my long-term health. And so, well, they want to cut back. And they want to include new things that are whole food, plant-based. And that's how, like, we're seeing a strong, reception, a consumer response is just incredible. So now we're coming up with deviled eggs. It's going to be launching in the summer. And we're working on also launching eggless salad and other form factors, just patties and liquid scramble are going to come up next. So it's exciting. The innovation pipeline is deep, and I couldn't be more excited to serve the customer where they exactly need it, where it exactly hurts the most.
Yeah. So the salad would be not just egg, it would be other salad ingredients, or would it be just egg?
Yes, in the US, egg salad or chicken salad or tuna salad is a very popular main course. So you go to sandwich joints and there is egg salad. Any grocery store you walk into, there's tubs of egg salad or potato salad. And so it's part of a mainstream America, cuisine. So what it essentially is, you take hard-boiled eggs, you cut them up, you add some mayonnaise and mustard, maybe some relish, but it's primarily mayonnaise, mustard, some celery. Some people add paprika to it, and then maybe some bell peppers and onions. But quite simply put, it's just eggs mixed with some vegetables and onions and mustard and mayo.
Okay,
And it's just
right.
very hearty, very comforting. It's a huge category. It's a huge part of the American mainstream cuisine.
Yeah. And then the liquid scrambled eggs would be an interesting space. There's obviously some people already in that. You mentioned just eggs. Here in the UK, there's a brand called Krat who do liquid eggs that you can also use for cooking, for example, things like Yorkshire puddings or put into cakes and stuff. But so that will be another big segment, I guess, for you to go after.
100%, yes.
Yeah.
And we already have some early prototypes of that. We're just working on fine-tuning the formula and the manufacturing process so we could launch that on a national level. But for sure, liquid scramble is certainly a priority. Patties are certainly a priority. I mean, my family, for example, they'll wake up. My son will, right now he eats just egg when he's craving an egg patty. I have had cracked because I think a couple of years ago, a year or two ago, they were at Expo and they had a booth, and actually it tasted pretty good. I like the taste, and I believe they have done some formula revisions on that. So I'm excited for the category to build. I'm excited for more players to coexist in the category so that it's seen as a whole category versus just a one-off product here or there, which does not make a category. So it's
Yeah.
truly exciting.
Let's talk about nutrition and specifically pairing them with chicken eggs in terms of nutrition, protein. Obviously, your eggs, I guess, won't have any cholesterol. Is that right? Or bad cholesterol?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. So Wonder Eggs have zero cholesterol. They have 3 grams of protein per whole egg. A chicken egg has about 5 or 6 grams of protein, but we intentionally kept it simple and whole food plant-based. We could obviously have added pea protein or some other isolate, but our kind of niche is we're going to make simple whole food plant-based, which means simple ingredients, nuts. Nuts is a source of protein in our offering. We did not want to just add these other protein isolates because, again, our positioning is let's eat a handful of nuts and satisfy those egg cravings. So yeah, zero cholesterol, 3 grams of protein, and all the goodness that nuts have to offer, our product offers. And as we continue to build the innovation pipeline, we have a few other ingredients that we're looking into. And so, yeah, there's more coming down. There's more coming downstream.
Yeah, and it's great to keep the ingredients simple and clean, so to speak.
That's right.
It makes a lot of sense, and especially how consumers are wanting and demanding that now from plant-based
100%.
companies. So yeah, that would be super interesting to see. How do you source your ingredients, and are you looking at whether they're sort of organic, sustainable, ethical, those sort of things? I would imagine it's quite difficult because you're using a variety of different nuts as well, but yeah, it'd be good to speak a little bit about that.
So we use almonds, cashews, and coconut milk. So they're non-GMO project verified and they're kosher. We're not organic yet. We need to build a little bit more scale before we can accommodate organic, supply chain. Right now, our margins don't allow for that. But there is certainly a 2, maybe 3 year plan to make our entire line of products organic. Today, they are certified non-GMO.
Okay. Have you got any feedback from consumers saying, are you planning to make like a nut-free version?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have.
Right.
It was just not easy. The egg white is so soft and it has to recreate that taste and, texture. And I did try with many, many, I'm Indian, so I'm very well aware of all the kinds of plant sources that are whole food or closer to the harvest. But it was just not, did not get the same kind of experience.
Yeah. Did you try tofu and tempeh and things like that as well?
I wanted to keep it gluten free and soy free.
Oh, okay. Right. Makes sense.
So, and there's a deliberate intention and a strategy behind that, right? So by this time, almond milk is everywhere. Almost all cafes and establishments have, or cheeses, for instance, right? There's a pretty big reception for nuts. For tree nuts. So the only allergen our products have is tree nuts. So if you have a peanut allergy, you can absolutely have these eggs. We just didn't want to, go into the soy area or gluten area, which is a much bigger dietary restriction than tree nuts. So today we're staying true to tree nuts, but we're looking into other ingredients with
Yeah.
more resource or access to capital.
Right.
R&D and innovation pipeline gets a little bit more of a boost.
Yeah.
But we're just taking it, steady, and it's already an incredible amount of traction with just this one product line,
Yeah.
right? We went from 0 to 1,000 stores in a matter of 12 months, which is crazy because
Yeah,
it
it's
is so
amazing.
new.
Yeah. And tell me about those retailers that you're in and the ones that you're planning on next.
So we are in Whole Foods nationwide, all regions, all stores of Whole Foods, and we're also on the East Coast in Wegmans. Many other regional chains, such as Bristol Farms in Southern California, Lassen's, Gelson's, we're launching with Erewhon. Super exciting. You want to be in Erewhon. That is a destination if you're in LA.
Yeah.
And and we also just did a launch nationwide with one of the largest, actually, I think it is the largest vegan burger chain, Next Level Burger, that acquired Veggie Grill, another fast food vegan chain. So our eggs are also sold on their menus,
Oh, that's
which is a
great.
larger burger chain.
TK, the founder of Veggie Grill, came on the show before. is a past
Oh, yeah.
guest.
Okay. Awesome. So they got acquired by Next Level Burger. So Matt and Sierra, Next Level Burgers, have been great fans of the brand. And so, yeah, we're already on their menus.
And now you're testing with Costco, right?
That's right. Yeah, we did three roadshows with Costco. They were a phenomenal success. You know, we did the definition of a roadshow is you are doing a 4-day demo, store open to store close all day. Okay, so it goes 4 days back to back, and you get a pallet of product to sell through. So we had 560 units to sell through in 4 days, and we sold out. You know, by the fifth day, it was all gone. And the consumer response was so great. There were some people that had been shopping at Whole Foods for many months. They drove 45 minutes an hour because they heard about the roadshow at Costco, and they were like, "We just wanted to come say hi and say thank you for creating these." We get so many emails that say, "Thank you for creating them. They're a part of my weekly, shopping basket." Just the emails that we get daily, weekly basis, it's just incredible. And you know you're doing the right thing and you're serving your customer. But yeah, we did the test with Roadshow, phenomenal response. And now, exciting news, we're doing a larger test. So those were so successful that our Southeast region, managers or decision makers, they were like, "Well, we're doing a plant-based focus in the Southeast region," which basically means North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, and Puerto Rico. And so we're rolling out into all 79 clubs on April 8th. So April 8th to April 21st, they're highlighting some plant-based brands. So we're part of that showcase, which is an incredible opportunity. So there'll be demos, we'll have an opportunity to share with all of the Costco consumers. That's tens of thousands of people in a matter of 2 weeks. Actually, probably more than that, because just in a matter of 4 days, we served almost 6,000 samples. That's how traffic the store is. The numbers are insane. So that's coming up next in this month.
That's really good news. Yeah, it'd be great to see you scale. Obviously, Costco is a massive opportunity, but it would be great to see you go into some of these obviously bigger mainstream supermarket chains right across the US. This year, you're focusing on the US market only, I guess. When do you think you'll look to expand outside of the US?
Later this year, we're working on closing our first seed round. And with that round closing, we will be looking to expand to North America for sure. So Canada is one area, one target country that we have gotten lots of requests from distributors and so on that have wanted to expand our offerings into the Canadian natural grocery store channel. So that's one country for sure. And with our future products that are potentially going to be frozen, the other countries will be easier to service. With our product, we have 135 days from the date of manufacturing, right? So with the global supply chain and the distribution, logistics, et cetera, the 135 days could work, but it could be tricky. So we're just working on extending the shelf life for existing, offerings, and also for the newer ones, we'll be looking at expanding offshores on a shorter timeline versus with hard-boiled eggs. But yeah, that's in the plan, but we're taking it, one quarter at a time at this time.
I thought you had already maybe done a seed. Did you already self-fund most of what you've done to date, or by yourself, or family and friends as sort of angels, or how did it work, and what are you looking to raise for your seed round?
So we self-funded a large extent of it. We've also raised money. So I've raised about almost $2 million on friends and family, angel investors, high net worth individuals, private investors, and so on. So far it's been friends and family and angels, and of course, with my own savings. And then going forward, this one, the seed round that I have opened for $5 million, would be the first priced round. So yeah, I have raised before, but now this would be the first institutional equity round.
Yeah, that's awesome. What would you value it if you're looking to raise 5 million?
I'm flexible. The importance is on finding the right mission-aligned partner who sees the vision and, allows us to grow and will be a great partner, operational or relational fit. And if you were to ask what I believe is a fair value for us, it would be about 12 million pre-money.
Yeah, and you're looking at sort of, I guess you've started to engage more of the plant-based VC firms that are, have done stuff already. I know some of them have slowed down, especially in more on the plant-based category. Then they started investing a bit more on the cultivated meat side. There has been lots that have done more on the precision fermentation. Some have got burnt in terms of the investments that they've done,
That's
and
right.
also the investor appetite has become a bit less, as in the people that they're raising from. So give me a status, if you like, of where you see these VC firms at the moment, and is there any ones that you particularly going for?
There's no denying that the landscape has changed drastically. In the last 18 months, everything just, turned over on its head. The investment philosophy, the portfolio spread for some of these funds, and to your point, what you're saying, some of these funds have got burned out, because of whatever reason, the burn or the dynamics, the market shift, the global wars, unit economics, you name it, many factors. It's hard to pinpoint on one thing. There's been a slowdown of investing in the plant-based as a category, for sure. But if you have the right business, if you're growing into a category that is disruptive, that has a strong potential to explode, and you've got a unique differentiation that and a, unfair value proposition or unfair advantage and a unique value proposition, it's about persistence. It's just about we just have to knock on more doors, I'm positive that given what we have going on for us, which is incredible momentum, national, brand awareness, the consumer that is so passionate, a fanatic fan base, and just a first mover advantage with our offerings, I'm positive we'll close them out. It just takes longer and more persistence, but nothing good comes easy. So I just go in with a mindset, you wake up and you go start knocking or just executing and running the business and growing well, but whatever way you can. So that means smarter cash flow management, renegotiating terms with your suppliers, and continuing to have these conversations with your angels, tapping into your network to take these checks. While you're still raising in the right way and you're onboarding, everybody on the cap table is a dream investor and they're incredible supporters. So we've never had to take a bad, transaction or check or anybody that was not aligned with what we're doing or with me and my values. So it's been hard, no doubt. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that, but it's also been great. And I focus on the positive and on the strong headwinds and continue executing.
Yeah, great. And I wish you luck with that raise that you're doing, and I'm sure you'll do really well out of it and get the money that you deserve to grow the company more. Obviously, the mission is great that you're on. I just wanted to end on, do you have any resources or tips for people who are looking to adopt a more of a plant-based lifestyle?
Take it slow. Don't set huge goals right away, right? Make small changes and focus on the fact that is this something I can live for the rest of my life? Don't go in too heavy. If you are an omnivore, right? Start slow. Few meals or few, what do you call it? Trade ins, trade outs. So switching things, mixing things up, keeping it, very good on flavor. Don't do any crazy diets. I would just say be slow. I've heard of friends that have gone on a vegan diet for 30 days. And they're obviously they can't you can't sustain it if your mind and your body and everything else is not complete harmony and sync with it. Your motivations matter, right? Your why matters. If it's animal cruelty, then that's something, right? If it is climate change, that's something. It's human health. Everybody gets into this path of your lifestyle choices or your food choices with different reasons. So it's very important to be self-aware and ask what, why are you doing this in the first place? Because you get a check mark, right? It's going to be very short-lived. Understand the reasons why and make it gradual. It's a journey. It's a journey. Don't rush it.
Awesome. Great advice. So amazing work, Hema, and really happy to see the success that you're having and the momentum that you've got, and congratulations on winning the
Thank you.
prize as well.
Thank you. You can see the star right behind me. Oh, no,
Ah,
there.
oh, that
There
one.
you go. That
Okay,
is a star. Yeah.
that's it. That's it. Well, you are a
Hello.
superstar. So thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Anand. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you and appreciate the opportunity.
Take care. See you.